Please bow your heads.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, those of us gathered together today that the world falsely identifies as quote-unquote Good Friday. We are here because we've kept the Days of Unleavened Bread, your festival. We've also kept the Passover, and we're very grateful to you for that. Thank you for the marvelous plan that you've unrolled before us that reveals your purpose and destiny for all of us. We thank you that we can all gather together in fellowship and a spirit of camaraderie and go forth now to understand your will and your purposes. So keep us safe. Help us to enjoy the instruction as well as the inspiration of being with one another. We ask above all things that Jesus Christ would be pleased with what he sees here as well as you as our Father. So guide everything that is said and done and help us to rejoice in these days and the opportunity to be brothers and sisters together as a part of your body. So inspire us now, and we thank you and ask your blessing upon all the activities this afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone be seated. And while you're doing that, I'm going to have some of the ushers, if they can, come up here, and I'd like to have these passed out. And you might look at them, but before you fill them out, I want to discuss it with you just a little bit. If you pass these out, Mr. Gregory, make sure they all get out there. Everybody will have enough for a copy. I like husbands and wives to fill them out. Also, teenagers, if you have them, if they happen to be teenagers here, and up to a certain age level, because this will be somewhat entertaining and very instructional, I think. I have some more. I have plenty of them up here if we need them. Don't start filling it out yet. I want you to fill them out here in just a little bit. Let those get passed out. While you're all getting those, I'd like to read to you a couple of verses out of Ephesians chapter 5. These are verses that we are very familiar with in the church, and yet they're some of the verses that are most frequently not adhered to. Or, in our attempts to adhere to them, we fall very short. The verses I'm going to read to you begin in verse 22, and we're going to conclude in that in verse 25. These are verses that are instructed or directed toward wives and toward husbands. Now, before I get started, how many of you in here are married? Okay. How many of you are not married at this time? That's more than I thought. Okay. All right. Well, good. That's going to be very interesting. Very interesting indeed. How many of you in this room have been married and divorced? A good number of us. Okay. I won't ask how many times. We'll leave that for another time. All right. Does everyone have one of those little sheets? Some of you do not. Okay. They're still being passed out. Let me read the verses to you. Instruction to the wives from the Apostle Paul. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto whom? Unto your own husbands, not someone else's husband, as unto whom? And this is a key verse here, as unto the Lord. Very important. Why? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And I think probably more so than any other time of the year, we really understand that verse being the Savior of the body right now. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Jesus, or unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then we have instruction to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And I'll read verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And on to verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You need some more? I've got plenty of them up here. Okay. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, and he that loves his wife loves himself. Now, these are some very general verses about husbands and wives. And everyone in this room, I'm sure, has read them, not just one time, 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times. And yet, interestingly enough, and sadly enough, there's too much marital unhappiness in our own body, in the body of Jesus Christ. And there is no exact formula except that whatever we do, we know we ought to do what is pleasing to God Almighty, and that's going to be your best opportunity. There's a lot involved in choosing and selecting a mate, staying committed to that mate, loving your mate, having children, and all the other interactions that take place inside of that decision to get married. Now, let me ask a question of you today as we get started. Have any of you ever wondered about your mate? And I don't mean in a moral way, but do you ever try to just figure out what in the world makes them do the things they do? Have you ever wondered that? Well, I've been married 9 months the second time now, and I've already experienced this several times. However, Betsy has experienced it more times than I have. I'm sure wondering, what in the world did I marry? It's a fair question, because we find that there really are, would you agree with this? There really are significant differences between men and women. I'm not talking physical. I'm talking about the way that we look at things. Do you agree with that? Can anybody want to give me an example? All right, no one wants to give me an example yet, but before we're through, there may be that opportunity for you. I was reading an interesting book about it, and they threw out a thought that I want to throw out to you, give to you to consider. They said that actually, when you get married, you marry a foreigner. And you know what? There's a lot of truth to that. That doesn't mean they speak a different language, though. If you marry somebody from Texas, they do speak a different language. But what this is talking about is that when you get married, you do in fact marry someone who is culturally most likely different than you. Correct? Now, laying aside all the jesting, if you marry someone, a Texan marries someone from New York, what do you think? Or what if you from Oklahoma were to marry somebody like Jimmy Johnson? No, we don't do that. Somebody from, you do know what's happened with the Cowboys and the, okay, so. But do we have a consensus of opinion here that men and women really do look at things differently?
Yeah.
Okay. I came across this little test. It's sort of a survey that I want you to fill out, because this is a sneaky little way to figure out one of the ways in which men and women are different from each other, aside from personality types. And Mrs. Hughes is going to be talking to you about that a great deal before it's over. But what I want you to do to sort of get you to thinking, let's talk about, for example, just you men and you women, you husbands and wives. I want you to think about, if you can, if money was no question to you, none whatsoever, and you could do anything you wanted to do, just in the form of a vacation, what would you do? I want you to think about it. I want you to just take 20 seconds, 30 seconds. I want you to think about it. Money's no object. I'm assuming you're in pretty good health. My question to you is, for the men, what would be your favorite vacation? And for the ladies, what would be yours? Anyone like to volunteer something? Yes, sir. A trip on a cruise ship. I don't want all the men to answer first. Yes, sir.
About the same thing as a scuba diving trip around the world on a cruise ship.
A scuba diving trip around the world on a cruise ship. Or on a ship. Okay. All right. Okay, another man. Yes, sir.
Spend 2 weeks in either northern New Mexico or southern Colorado about this time of year.
By yourself or with someone?
With somebody.
With somebody. Okay, I think that's important. Because if you go scuba diving, that's a pretty much by yourself activity, though you can have somebody else with you. Okay, your wife is a scuba diver, okay. Mr. Kern.
2 weeks of golfing.
2 weeks of golfing. Boy, that sounds like fun. All right, that would be. Yes, sir, in back. You're going to go with him and be the caddy, okay. All right, one other man, and then I'd like some of the ladies to comment. Yes, sir. I'm sorry? Go to Europe. Okay. Are you married?
Yes.
So you would take your wife with you?
Yeah.
Okay, more than... I hope more than the other. Okay, to divert just a moment from the men, I'd like to hear from the ladies. Okay, same thing. What would you ladies like to do? Bonnie? Okay. Okay, plan an activity for all the ladies who are not going with their husbands, all right? Some of the other ladies, uh-huh? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I'll go golfing with the guy.
Go golfing, we have a golfer here, okay? Mrs. Kern, what would you do? You go to Europe. Your husband's going to leave. You're going to leave him on the links in Europe, and you go to Europe. Okay, take your clubs with you. All right, the reason I wanted to do this is to let you know that there's a lot of crossover in the way we make decisions. And yet I personally feel that some of us are more what I'm going to call a visual kind of a person. Some of us are more auditory. And some of us are people who are moved by feelings. Now, there's a lot of reasons why I feel this. Not the least of which is I know how I am, okay? And I've had a lot of fun talking this over with Betsy, and we've had just a lot of fun exchanging the differences that make us who we are and why we do the things we do. Now, what I want you to do at this moment is I want you to take just an opportunity to fill out that questionnaire. And I'll be quiet up here while you take a moment to fill that out. And if you will, when you're filling it out, notice what it says. It says on each one, for example, question number one, given $1,000 to spend on one of the following, which would you choose? And what I want you to do, without your spouse seeing it if you're married, is pick the one you think she'd pick, or pick the one you think he'd pick. And let's see how we do going down this thing, okay? So pick A, B, or C for me and A, B, or C for the spouse. Which one do you think she'd pick? And no sharing on this one. Just go through. I think there are only 15 questions. Yes? Single people, just consider for yourself, or if you're about, you have someone in mind, you can put them down there too. Okay, most of it would be for yourself. And I realize when you go through this, it's a little bit difficult to sort through some of these, but overall, there will be a trend developed, and I'd like to show you what that's going to be. So just take a few minutes to fill it out, and when everybody's through, I'll get up here and I'll talk to you about the answers. Are we through? Let's see. Are we through? Everybody in the back. Mr. Gregory, are you finished? He's not. Okay. Okay. We don't want to take too much longer, but I want you to see the trend that will emerge. Okay, well, some of you are still filling that out. Let me ask this now. Let's go to some of the stereotypes, and these are oftentimes stereotypes that exist with husbands and wives. What would be the one major complaint of women toward their husbands? That their husbands do not... The husbands do not listen, or the other part, that they don't listen, but... That husbands do not... They do not... What's the big long C word?
Communicate.
Communicate. Husbands don't communicate. Now, I heard an interesting thing about this the other day, and it really made me chuckle as I was driving down the highway. Basically, they have determined that any given day that you live, each of us is allotted 10,000 words during the day. Each of us speaks about 10,000 words a day. Some more, some less, but that's ballpark the figure of 10,000. And here is normally what happens in regard to that question I just asked you. The husband goes to the job, he works all day long, and during the course of that time, between 8 to 5, when he gets up in the morning and comes home, he uses up 9,562 of those words. The wife has stayed home all day long, and she has used up 300. The husband comes home, and guess what he wants to do? Not talk. But the wife has 9,700 words she has not used yet. And she begins to use them until she goes to bed, and even while she is in bed, right? Now, that may or may not be true, but I think that there's a little bit of insight into some of the differences in a broad sense that affect our marriages. I think it is a safe thing to say that most women, and realizing that most is not everyone, but most women do wish that their husbands would communicate a little bit more. Husbands then wish what? What do husbands wish? That their wives would be quiet. No. Sometimes that is the case. Any particular, would you say a general thing for the that the wives would wish of their husbands? Anything? You husbands are perfectly content with your wives then. Perfectly content. Now let's turn to the Ten Commandments and discuss lying. All right, we will proceed carefully from here on out. Have we all figured out this and answered this questionnaire? Okay, Now I'd like to go back and give you the answers. And so you're going to have to go to each question as we go along. And based upon your answer, I want you to write the following response. Question number one. If you put A on your paper, put feelings. F-E-E-L-I-N-G-S. Feelings. Anytime, okay? A would be a feeling. B is auditory. C is visual. Anybody have any questions about that? I'll explain all this in just a moment. Okay. Okay. A is feelings, B is auditory, C is visual. Question two. Same thing. A is feelings, B is auditory, and C is visual. Question three. A is auditory, B is visual, C is feelings. Four. A is visual, B is feelings, and C is auditory. Question five. A is feelings, B is visual, C is auditory. Question six. A is visual, B is auditory, C is feelings. Question seven. Up to this point, do we need any of these repeated? Which one? Number three again. A is auditory, B is visual, C is feelings. Do we need any other repeated? Okay, question number four. A is visual, B is feelings, C is auditory. Yes, sir. Number two. A is feelings, B is auditory, and C is visual. Okay. Anyone else need any repeated? Let's go on to question seven. Seven, A is auditory, B is visual, C is feelings. Question eight. A is auditory, B is feelings, C is visual. Nine, A is visual, B is auditory, C is feelings. Question 10. A is visual, B is auditory, C is feelings. Question 11. A is visual, B is auditory, C is feelings. Do we need any of those repeated? 7 to 11. Everybody's good. Question 12. A is auditory, B is visual, C is feelings. Question 13. A is feelings, B is visual, C is auditory. Number 14. A is feelings, B is auditory, C is visual. And the last one is A is visual, B is feelings, and C is auditory. Okay? Now I want you to go back over those 15 questions and count the number of audios you have, the visuals, and the feelings. Count up the number of visual, auditory, and the feeling preferences. Yes, sir. Number 11 is A is visual, B is auditory, and C is feelings. Yes, sir. Number 12, A is auditory, B is visual, C is feelings. Yes, sir. Number 5, A is feelings, B is visual, C is auditory. Number 2, A is feelings, B is auditory, C is visual. Okay? Anyone else need to have any of those repeated? You have them all totaled up? One more minute to total those up. Yes, sir, in the back. Number three, A is auditory, B is visual, C is feelings. Yes, sir. Four and five. Number four is visual. A is visual, sorry. Number four, A is visual, B is feelings, C is auditory. On number five, A is feelings, B is visual, and C is auditory. Okay? Have we pretty much gotten through all that? All right. Total them up. How many of you as husbands and wives match? Okay, do we have them add them up yet? My hunch is they won't all match up exactly. Have we got them totaled up here? What I'm after is, are you an auditory person, are you a visual person, or are you a feelings person? By auditory, I mean, are you a person who is most affected by what you hear? By visual, are you a person who's the most affected by what you see? Or if you're a feelings person, you're most affected by what you feel. Now, the reason why this is important is, let me give you an illustration which is most frequently heard from a minister talking to someone who is in there for counseling. This happens time and time and time again. We end up with a visual. Women get their feelings hurt very easily, right? Okay. Now, let me give you one of the most frequent problems that comes up. A husband and wife are in counseling and they're having problems, and the husband sincerely says, I don't know what else I can do. I buy her flowers. I take her to the movies. I get her cards. I do this, that, and the other thing. I show her that I love her. And it doesn't do any good. The woman who is a feeler says, and she is not primarily visual, she says, well, it's not that I don't want that, but all I want to do is know that you love me. And showing me with visual things doesn't illustrate that to me. And so it's a matter then of letting the two understand how to really show their love and affection for each other. How many in this room then are what we call visual people? Can I see your hands? How many? I'm a visual person. I took the test. I'm a visual person. How many of you here are auditory people? More auditory. And how many of you are feelings people predominantly? Okay, a good number of you are not raising your hands. And that's all right. But you're still one of those three. There's no question about it. I won't tell you which one till I'm through. I think it is important to consider, if we're talking about getting along with each other, not only as husbands and wives, but as peers and brothers and sisters in the church, to be able to key in on those important aspects that take preeminence in the way that we look at things. Now, just for example, coming up here today, just little things that I noticed driving up with Betsy. We took the test in the car. One of the expressions, if I were to talk to Betsy about something and giving her a choice about what she wants to do, I'd say, well, Betsy, when we're up in Wagner, we have a choice of things to do. What do you want to do? And she'll say normally, well, it doesn't, whatever you want to do. No, that's what she would say to me. And I say, well, let's do this, that, and the other thing. And her response would be, now notice what her response would be. That sounds good to me. That sounds good to me. Now, what is she telling me at that word sound? Okay, and here's something that's interesting about this. Betsy's not here, so I can tell these stories. Is, you see, I'm the type of person who does like to give flowers and show visually that I love, if you know what I mean. But I don't like to write cards. I really don't like to talk on the telephone, that type of thing. I like one-on-one where I see you, visual, okay? And yet it's interesting, when we were dating, Betsy was a prolific writer. And occasionally she would talk to me, she said, well, won't you ever write me? And I would write her about once every 6 months, and I thought that was enough. It was a little more frequently that, but that, and I thought, I do these other things. I send her flowers. I'll buy her a box of chocolates. I'll do this and so forth and so on. I thought, well, surely she knows that I care for her. And she did. But what was really important to her, because she is an auditory person, it was me picking up the phone, doing what? Telling her, listening to it, this, that, and the other thing. And these are little adjustments that you learn about each other as you go along. Those of you who've been married a long time, you probably have said, I'm giving up, there's no hope, you know, I'm stuck with him and he's stuck with me, we're not changing it. I hope it is not that way, because if it is, that's sad. But unfortunately, that's the way it is too often.
Just in general then, people that are auditory, should they marry auditory people?
No, not necessarily. Here's the thing about it. There's the opportunity to mix, but when you do, you got to understand how to reach each other. And you reach each other by appealing to those things that are important, that particular sense. For example, we were driving up here, and I asked the question that I asked you earlier. If you could take a trip and do anything, what would you do? And Betsy's idea of doing something was for me and her to go and experience a very detailed type of a trip. It wasn't a cruise. I forgot where she wanted to take us. Well, she wanted to go to Europe. That's where she wanted to go to Europe, if she'd been there. When the question was asked of me, and I was being honest, I said, I'd like to go elk hunting. You see, the problem with that is elk does not include her. But see, I was at least being honest. In fact, she hasn't spoken to me since. I don't know what I'm going to do about that, but we'll try to make up for it a little bit later on. Let me very quickly go through some of these things to explain it, because I want you in the session that I have here to understand a little bit more about communicating to each other, because it can be a lot of fun. And I'll tell you something about marriage. Marriage is meant to be a lot of fun, isn't it? So often it's just plain old unhappiness and it's misery. Because we don't understand each other's needs. We don't understand how to appeal to each other. We don't understand how to reach each other. We really sometimes don't even know how to get what we want. And it really is quite easy. Now, basically speaking, the visual person relates to how things look to him. That's an important thing. When he imagines, he visualizes. Now, here's the thing. We were talking about coming up here, just to show you how it works, just little things. And I've driven here many times, but, you know, I just like to have it in my mind about where I'm going. And yesterday we were driving around in the country looking for a home that was way out there to visit with a lady and a family. And I had talked with the lady on the phone. And here's what was interesting. We were listening to the directions on the phone, and I didn't write down a thing. Because what am I doing? I am a visualizer. Betsy was right there, and guess what she was doing as I was repeating it? She was writing it down word for word. All right? And it should be written down, because visualizers get lost all the time. I'm speaking of myself. But I tend to visualize and see things. When I read a story, you know what happens to me? I don't see the words. I see the hillside. I see the blue bonnets. I see the stream. I smell the air. I visualize it. Okay? Using Betsy for an example, when Betsy reads a story, she sees every word. She can't quit. Now, Betsy starts a book. She finishes it that day. So I encourage her to read when I'm not around, because I like her attention in the evenings when I get home. She just gets in there and she has to finish that book. That's the way she is. Well, that could be disturbing to me, or I can understand it, or I could appreciate it. Right? Some people get bothered by the simplest of little things. If you love each other, you understand where you're coming from, and you work at understanding your mate. What do you think about this visual person? Do you think he's going to be a reader? A visual person? Yes. He will probably prefer reading, even collecting some items, or taking pictures. He is very concerned about how he looks to others. He talks about things, how they look, rather than how he feels. Now, this I think is important, and this speaks of a lot of men. A person who is a visualizer tends to withdraw and brood when he's upset rather than talking through the problem. Are any of you wives who are married to men like that? They withdraw and they will brood rather than, what do you want them to do? You want them to talk to you about what's going on. The visualizer prefers a face-to-face conversation rather than the telephone. When he travels, I mentioned this illustration to you a while ago, he or she wants a map nearby, and they will perhaps study it, but they do not prefer to have it read to them. They're visualizing. Okay? Now, the other thing that's a part of this, maritally speaking, in a family, there's what this one, I like this terminology, one is called an amplifier in a marriage and the other is called a condenser. Which do you think is which? In a marriage, do you think the male is the condenser or the amplifier? Let me tell you what an amplifier is. The amplifier is an individual who takes something and continues to develop it and wants more talked about, more sentences, more explanation, more description. The condenser is someone who gets a piece of information and you might be lucky to get them to talk about it one or two sentences worth. Which one is the amplifier in a marriage and which one's the condenser? The woman is the amplifier. So you got a new name to call your wife. Well, you amplifier. And the husband is condenser. He takes information in. It's hard to get it out of him. Okay? Let me talk very quickly about those people who are auditory. Auditory, which, by the way, was the vast majority of you, correct? How many of you were auditory? Okay, good. Seems to be the vast majority. This is a person who is interested primarily in hearing about life. They really do like sounds. It doesn't mean that you don't like visual things, but they really do like the sounds and sights of life. When you read, you don't just see pictures, you hear the words. And I can't help but get caught up in this because one of the most popular sources of reading material today for women are books on romance and all these little novels. Women get caught up because they hang on every single word, okay? These are people who tend to need to be told rather than shown. Need to be told how to do things rather than shown. Now, I asked a question driving up here with my family. If you were to get go out to Walmart and buy a gift, you know, one of these cradle things that you walk, you know, you put for kids, and you put them in with the little babies and the swings, and what do they call those things? Swingers. You put them in a swinger and they swing back and forth, because I've done this. And I bought it, and when I looked at it, the way I looked at it, being a visualizer, is I didn't even read the directions. I looked at the picture and visualized how to complete it. But on the other hand, Betsy would look at it, and guess what Betsy sees? She's not interested in the picture. That's important. What she's interested in is word by word by word explanation. All right. An audio person likes to have long conversations, and they tend to remember what they hear very, very well. And this is what I think is fascinating about a person who is audio-oriented. They are astute at picking up changes in tone. Have you heard that? Well, my husband, he wouldn't change if I hit him in the head with a 2x4. But the wife, on the other hand, you just change your voice inflection, and she knows something's wrong, correct? And if you're not careful, you can abuse her with the freedom that you have to be coarse or brusque with her when you talk to her. What do you think is the most often expression most oftenly that a audio person would like to hear in marriage? I love you. How often do you think a husband likes to hear it? Occasionally. But a woman likes to hear it. How often does a woman ever get tired of hearing?
Never.
Never, the ladies say. Now, husbands, we need to realize that. I mean, and mean it when you say it. You know, don't just give it all of you. You know, is dinner on? I love you. You know, it's like men. It tickled me to death several years ago. I was talking to a man who had been in the church for a number of years, and it was Mother's Day, and I said, what are you going to get your wife for Mother's Day? He said, an iron. See, he saw it one way, but what does the wife think about getting an iron on Mother's Day? What do you ladies think about that? Throw the iron at him. I mean, you know, let's get serious here. Ladies would rather have what? Flowers or candy or a night out or something like that. Husband, he thinks an iron, a set of knives. No, I don't want to say that anymore after recent events and news. No more knives. No, those are out. Okay. One of the most important items to a person who is audio-minded is a telephone. They really enjoy the telephone, talking on the telephone. Let me give you some expressions now that you will frequently hear from someone who is audio-oriented. They will say, that sounds good to me. Okay. Now, the reason why this is interesting, I was talking to Betsy and I was talking to my mother and dad driving up here, and we're talking about going to the movies or making a choice. And it was interesting. Betsy's first response was, that sounds good to me. My first response is, if we were going, I'd say, I'd like to go see that. See, sound is a part of my vocabulary, but I would say, I'd like to go see that too. She'd say, I think that sounds great. Okay? Sounds good is a common expression for those who are audio-oriented. Let's talk about that again, because talking is hearing. Boy, that's music to my ears, audio person will say. Or things like, that's as clear as a bell, because a bell is something that you hear. Tell me more about it. Tell me more about it. Give me a call so we can talk this over. Or something like this. Now, you don't have to talk to me in that tone of voice. Right? Audio person. What are some of the things then that you might expect a person who is visually oriented to say? Things like, well, from my point of view. See? Any of you ever say that? Well, I see what you're driving at. That's a visual response. That looks like a sure thing. Well, that's really clear to me. Well, what you're picturing to me is, I don't know, the way you've been talking, I draw a blank. See, visually, I draw a blank. Is that a little expression? Well, it's beginning to dawn on me. This expression which is colorful, dawn on me. Well, there's a clear pattern to this. Final one I have here to give to you. Well, just show me what you're getting at. A person likes to be shown. Okay, now let's go on quickly to the final category, which is feelings. And I was trying to see if Mr. James is here yet. Is Mr. James here? Has anybody seen him? Mr. Bronson James. Might check on him, because if he's not, I'm going to carry on a little bit. A feelings person is most often characteristic of a lady, because she's very caring. What do I mean by feelings? How many of you in this room are feelings people? Can I see those hands? How many are feelings? Okay. What would you say is your primary characteristic? A feelings person. You're a touching person. Okay. You're a touching person. You want closeness. You want love and affection. Now, we all want these things, but this is the stronger of the three that we're talking about. You like physical comfort. And you enjoy bodily sensations. For example, I've been amazed at this. I have no interest in a bubble bath. I mean, a visual person, I mean, I'm not interested in watching bubbles. You know. But for some reason, ladies, being feeling ladies, one of the things you hear, oh, if I could just have a nice, soft, relaxing, you know, 102 degree bubble bath. Say, I want the 108 degrees sitting in a sauna, a whirlpool. But the bubble bath, I mean, you know, I don't need the bubble bath. That has no appeal to me. But my wife might like that. Physical comfort is important. A feelings person is typically going to show their feelings through touching or through affection. They may not say it. They may not communicate it. They will show their feelings in their tone of voice. And we all know how to do that. Now, let me give you the best combination of these three so far. A feelings-oriented man, talking from the man's viewpoint, a feelings-oriented man who can effectively verbalize his emotions is one of the easiest people to live with. Any of you marry those? No. No. Drew a blank on that one. But you can see why, can't you? Because it's easy to have the needs met. A person who is a feelings person is more spontaneous than the auditory or the visual person. This is the kind of person who can ruin your plans, because they're liable to change at the last minute because what may have changed about them. Their feelings did about something. Their mood. They're somewhat unpredictable, and they easily change their minds. Some of the words, the language that they will use is, I'd like to get close to you. I'd like to learn more about you and get closer to you. They might say something, I'm so happy today because yesterday I was so unhappy. Yesterday I was unhappy, but today I'm so happy. And what trait do you think the feelings person most admires? Sensitivity. They like people being aware that they are sensitive people. Now, here are the words that you will most frequently hear in these three categories. The visual person most often will say, and I've been listening for these in myself since I've studied into this a little bit, the most frequent expression you will hear in a visual person is, it looks good to me. Okay. What will the audio person say? It sounds good to me. And the feelings person will say, well, that feels good. That feels good to me. Or they'll say, well, I'm comfortable with that.
Because comfort is feeling. All right. Now, I don't know which one you are, but it's very important to try to figure out which one you are so that you can learn how to understand your mate, especially if your mate is not what you are. Now, let's take a couple of examples and then we'll close because I know Mr. James is here. Let's take a visual husband married to an auditory wife, okay? One who tunes into what she hears. The husband will come into the bathroom and things are not neat, okay? Things are not neat. What will he see? He will see that things are not neat. He's a visual person looking at things. And this can be a little bit of a difficulty for a woman who is not visually oriented because she might come in there and there's nothing to it. Now, let me give you an illustration of this. So when Betsy and I got married, my family increased a little bit by three children, one of whom is with us. And I've been struck at her daughter who lives with us, whose name is Julie, and she's quite the gal. But one of the things that I noticed that was completely different about Julie with my children, who follow my examples all these years, is that Betsy's daughter, Julie, everything has its place. And when she goes in to use the bathroom and all the toiletries and all this, that, and the other thing, she knows where her comb is, she knows where her shampoo is, she knows where the deodorants and the hairsprays and everything, she's got them all located. And she, if my daughters who come in there mess it up, guess what she sees? Immediately. She catches it just like that. And you go in there and she's got all of her clothes arranged. You know, suits, coats, blouses. Although I'm visual to a great degree, in this area I'm not. You come into my closet, you know, running outfit, suit, shirt, everything is... I'm not in that area with clothes as visual as, let's say, Julie might be. Can a person who is, let's say, to the extreme on visual be a bothersome to a person who is not? Do you think? They sure can. So you need to understand this about each other and talk about it so you can, if something is important to the other mate, that you can identify it and not let you bother it. Just another quick example about a feelings husband and a visual wife. And this is frequently the case, and I think it's reversed more so, but I use this as an example. Here is the husband who comes up, and what he wants to do is he wants to hug. The wife comes home, or he comes home, he wants to hug, and he wants to kiss, and he wants to hold her hand, and all this kind of thing. But she backs off a little bit from it. And remember, she's not a feelings person. She's a visual person. He doesn't understand why she doesn't let him do this. He needs to understand that's not what's important to her. For him to be touchy-feely, it is to maybe take her out to dinner and show her his love. Appeal to his visual. Okay? Now, can you think about those things and see any applications for yourselves and your family? Think about it. Now, I want to see a show of hands before we close out the session and take a break. How many in this room are audio-oriented people? How many of you are visual-oriented people? Okay, I want you to watch each other's hands now on this and understand why we respond differently and people don't do it the way we do it. How many are feelings-oriented people? What an interesting mix. It looks like about 40, 40, and 20. And that's what makes this world so interesting, where none of us really exactly alike. You know, the Bible gives verse after verse of encouragement, brethren, for us to love one another, to encourage one another, and the bottom line of this is to understand each other. And I don't know about you, but during this Passover season, this particular one, a key word that has come home to me time and time again, being over in Shreveport where we had the Passover and the weekend with everybody there, is understanding. And I look back now, the victim of a divorce, and I'll just tell you something very honestly. I didn't understand. I didn't understand some of the things that were important to my first mate. And she did not understand some of the things that were really important to me. Little things like this, because I was one of these people who said, I give you flowers, I do this and I do that, I show you my love. But you know what? That's not what was really important to her. I wish I had known. I really do. I'm grateful for where I am now, because I'm happily married, more so than I ever dreamed I would be. And God has blessed me after all these years. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I am not going to repeat the mistake in my past by not being there to understand. You see, I know now how to reach Betsy. I know whether to do it through visual, through auditory, or through feelings. Now, and her answer is, do it with all three. Well, if that's okay, that's fine too.